Blog Talk Radio.
Here we are. Here we are. Ghetto children singing, see, they eager to learn how to become the next world leaders. Brave hearts, revolutionary warfare is warfare, loving war for the cause. I gotta take you off here. Revolutionary warfare is warfare, loving war for the cause. I gotta take you off here. Book one, strategy, tactics, technique. Look dumb, but massively notice the weakness in all of them. Gotta shoot only if necessary. Homie, vestige is very real if enemies carrying heavy steel. Beware the thugs who ain't scared of blood or jail time. When Aryan nations ain't having integration, we so blind to beauty of life. But when my mom said, nigga, you could be Christ, I wasn't old enough to hold my dick and pee right. Jesus, what is he like? I picture him standing with diamonds on him, little different from the way my mommy saw him. Practice your aiming, physical training and difficult terraining. Test your endurance, try to keep your stamina banging, splitting duchess up, strap up. The army's a school, teaching smart ways to kill. I'm thinking Gandhi was a fool, the chronic's a fool. Got me thinking out loud, fuck it, sleep on my drunkenness, I blow your brains out. Revolutionary warfare, warfare, loving war for the cause. I gotta take you off here. Revolutionary warfare, warfare, loving war for the cause. I gotta take you off here.
My revolution is as real as Bobby Seals. I build with dudes and Chris worth a quarter mil and Dick Hill. For fish gills and cop guns, the time come. I mask up and get my comrade off the bus. Fuck the beef, I snatch a seed from Chuck E. Cheese and feed them to the rats in the back of the peas. Black fatigue and office scenes on a sofa. 50-inch flat screen, Louis Vuitton holster. My motions don't appeal to appellate division. I did it strong for 7 long years in prison. Fuck the system, I'm like a modern-day Hitler. A black gorilla, crib and blood and one nigga. Only killers know my face. I be the case for shooting at the police. Nigga, the name Lake goes simultaneously with street revolution. 21 gun salute the new Huey Newton.
Revolutionary warfare is warfare, loving war for the cause. I gotta take you off here. Revolutionary warfare is warfare, loving war for the cause. I gotta take you off here. Teach our woman how to hold a family down in case something happens to us fathers. Protect the children, grab revolvers. The woman plays an important part of our life force. So what we fight for, my heart goes to you, beautiful wife in war.
And listen more and talk less. Watch all and trust none, demand your respect. And be ready to die for what you believe in. And ride all the time, not just when convenient.
Justice and freedom, wisdom and understanding. We the lost children of Israel in this Western world region. You ain't a man, you a coward if you can't support the girl you put a seed in.
Strong rule the weak, but the wise rule the strong. It's more to a war than just getting it on. Seal your form, cover your tracks, stay prepared. I don't care, no one's spared.
Revolutionary warfare is warfare, loving war for the cause. I gotta take you off here. Revolutionary warfare is warfare, loving war for the cause. I gotta take you off here. Revolutionary warfare is warfare, loving war for the cause. I gotta take you off here. Revolutionary warfare is warfare, loving war for the cause. I gotta take you off here.
Free the land. Free the land. Welcome to another edition of the Vision of Government of the Public New Africa Radio Show. I'm your co-host, Minister Bumani Shakir. I'll be joined by my co-host, Minister of Interior, Jawari Akin-Pakeli. The Vision of Government, was established in 1968 on March 31st. Vision of Government, we understand and know that we believe in certain concepts, and we realize certain things through our political education by experiences. And 10 of the things we know is that, one, that the exploitation and oppression of New Africa and North America by whites in North America has entered a more vicious and visible stage. Two, New Africa and North America are in a danger, are in serious danger of extermination by the Native Americans. Three, African-born in America can survive and liberate ourselves if we understand that our problem was created by all-white government, USA, and it is being continued by all-white government. Or individuals or organizations, no matter how rich or large, cannot wage a great struggle for survival and liberation against the United States government. Five, we can only survive and liberate ourselves by becoming real new African nationalists and building ourselves a nation that will be better able to wage the correct struggle by surviving liberation. Six, we should be the ones to determine our own destiny. This is known as self-determination. Self-determination in all aspects, politically, socially, economically, militarily. Seven, that we must stand ready to defend ourselves against our enemies by any means necessary. Eight, we must support all liberation struggles and the liberation in general of the African continent. We're pan-African in a sense. Nine, the economic needs of our nation will be met and profit will be shared equally. Ten, visionary government wants all African people to help us make the Republic of New Africa, the new African nation, a nation that will govern new African people. But liberate new African territories and free the land. You know, we got an interesting topic tonight. In regards to the water crisis at the Mega Everville, mission owner, Jackson, Mississippi. Join us on the broadcast will be the new African election, new African National Election Commissioner. City Council, District Council member, another brother Mike, Free Land Elder, you there?
Yes, sir. Greetings, Free Land.
Okay. First off, it's a pleasure to have you here. First, I want to salute you for the work you did in the past, the present, the work you're doing, in the future. First off, can you tell the people a little about yourself, who you are, where you're from? You know, just a little brief bio about yourself before we get into this.
Okay. Of course, my name is Asania Lukata Chakuu. I am currently a resident of Mega Everville, Mississippi, a.k.a. Jackson. I serve the provisional government on the National Election Commission. And on that commission, I currently serve as the chair. I am joined on the National Election Commission by Brother James Rogers III out of Dallas, Texas, and Mama Iya Olabala out of Mega Everville. Of course, I am a citizen of the provisional government, therefore am a citizen member of the Mega Everville District Council. I am the African in Charge founder of the Real Learning Institute. And the Real Learning Institute serves the people of Mega Everville and the state of Mississippi to educate our people about our story and to mobilize our people to fight for and win political sovereignty as well as cultural identity as new Africans. Very briefly, in Mega Everville, we have initiated an elders council. We have initiated a youth leadership training project. We have initiated a newsletter that we publish on a monthly basis, which we call As We Build. And we are currently pushing the Mega Everville Land Acquisition Task Force and the PGRNA Adopt a Village project. So these are the things that we are coordinating out of Mega Everville. a.k.a. Jackson, Mississippi.
Okay, I appreciate the information. Tell us a little bit more about the election commission and when the next elections are taking place and how people can participate.
What was the question again? I couldn't hear the question.
I said, tell us a little bit more about the National Election Commission and how people can participate in winning the next election.
Okay, every 3 years, the provisional government elects its leadership of its government, and in those elections, we elect a president, 3 vice presidents. We elect our legislative branch, which we identify as the People's Centered Council, which is representatives of the various certified population districts that have been certified throughout the provisional government. We elect local judicial representatives that we call district judges, and then we also are in the process of also including the election of the People's Centered Council, District Judges, or People's Judges for the People's Judicial Council. So our last election, of course, was in 2020. The next election for the leadership of the provisional government will be held November the 3rd, 4th, and 5th of the year 2020, which of course, 2023, which of course is next year. So we are right now in the process of ensuring that each of the certified districts within the provisional government have adequate commissioners and teams. We are also in the process of certifying new districts to be represented on the People Centered Council. So individuals who would be interested in learning about their status or the status of their community as it relates to being a certified district should simply contact the National Election Commission at ME District Council, and that's all one word, ME District Council at yahoo.com. Or you can text PGRNA to the number 601-354-6678. Again, you can text PGRNA to 601-354-6678. And again, we'd be glad to get you updated and involved in the upcoming provisional government national and local elections.
Okay, I appreciate the information. Can you tell us what your name means?
Oh, of course, yeah. You know, it's so very important that as African people, we begin to identify with our African heritage and our rich African legacy or lineage. And so as such, I was able to identify names that I felt, first of all, fit me from terms of a personality, and then in terms of a lifetime aspiration. So my name is Asamiya, and Asamiya means stern. Most people who run into me, if you will, find that I'm very focused. I'm dedicated to whatever the work is that I am focused on. I'm very direct in terms of getting to solutions to the problems that we have as a community. So Asamiya seemed to fit me very well, with its definition of being stern. Mukata means dynamic. And I just hope someday to be respected enough that people would recognize that that I am doing the very best that I can in order to stay focused, to stay principled, and to do something that is significant in the securing of and the acquisition of sovereignty, both political, spiritual, emotional, and economic. Economically for African people. So being dynamic is something that I'm aspiring to be. And then Chifu means cultured man. I identified myself as a black man very early in life. And as I have evolved, I have become to understand that being a black man and being an African are simultaneous. They coexist. They are the same. So I have tried my damnedest throughout my life to identify and to live a lifestyle of what I discern as being a new African, and that's culturally in terms of who I am as a person. So, again, Chiku means cultured man, and as a cultured man, that means to evolve in the culture that you come out of. And for me, that means my evolution as an African, a new African. So my name in essence means stern, dynamic, and cultured. Still with me, brother?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I appreciate the information, man. It's very important to basically have something, a name or attribute or a trait to identify yourself with, especially in regards to your work, your legacy, and the things you're doing. My next question is, tell us what exactly is going on in Mega Every with the water crisis. What exactly is going on for a person who's there?
Okay.
Tell us what's happening.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, as most of us know, there is a crisis in Medgar Evansville of not having clean drinking water, consumable drinking water, not only drinking water, but usable water. There's a problem with the contamination of the filtration system in Medgar Evansville. Now, what people have not fully grasped is that this problem is not a new or an immediate development. It's something that has been going on in Mega Evansville and has reached its climax, if you will, in recent times. The water system is an aged water system. It's an old water system. And the strain on that system has caused that system, citizens of Mayor Evansville, in a situation where they had to boil the water in order to be able to use it. That being an inconvenience, of course, is not where the problem stopped. A month ago, we had a torrential ongoing rainstorm that flooded the Mississippi River. That flooding caused for added impurities to contaminate the water filtration system in Mega Evansville. So where we had for the last year at least been under continually boil water alerts, now we have a problem where, in addition to not having clean water flowing through the filtration system, there's also a problem with the pressure, the level of the pressure that the water is flowing through that system. So we have a situation where somewhere around 1980, maybe 1990, Major Evansville, a.k.a. Jackson, began to become what we call a majority African community, which means that the population of the city was becoming predominantly African. Of course, when we move in, they move out. So what happened somewhere around 1980, 1990, the exodus or white flight began. And of course, with white flight, there also began the economic flight of resources from Jackson. Of course, as we know that the better jobs, the better business locations, the better business opportunities had always been in the hands of the majority community prior to 1980, 1990. Of course, that was the white community. As the population shift began, then those good jobs and those good businesses fled Jackson. As a result, the tax base of Jackson also began to deteriorate. And so when you don't have a strong tax base, then you don't have the resources on a local level to be able to maintain your water system, to be able to maintain your streets and your roads, to be able to maintain your education system, to be able to maintain your justice system, which, you know, of course, we have to be real that the justice system has never been anywhere near a system of justice for African people. But without a tax base, things began to just get worse in Mega Evansville, a.k.a. Jackson. So as it got worse, we find out that there are millions and billions of dollars that are actually coming into Mississippi, where Mississippi uses the numbers of Jackson, you know, the poverty numbers, the low-income numbers, the high unemployment rate of Jackson to bring federal dollars into Mississippi. But those federal dollars were going to these outlying communities so that they could build up infrastructure and through found ways to penalize the city of Jackson, which became, again, let's call it a bully, if you will. Found ways to penalize the black cities, not only Jackson, other cities that are predominantly African, in order to take the federal dollars that were coming into Mississippi and use them to build up the outlying communities around Jackson and around some of these other predominantly African communities while using the numbers of poverty and unemployment that is inherent in the African community. So, again, we find that we have situations where money that was earmarked for the poor people, the people that are on welfare in Jackson, was being diverted through legal manipulation to other places and other projects. The most recent one, of course, being is the $70 million plus of welfare funds that were brought into the state that the former governor and his cohorts had redirected to other communities and to nonprofit organizations and to professional football players rather than using those funds to alleviate the high level of poverty and getting Mississippi off the bottom in terms of its poverty ratings. over. But this is something that has been going on for years and years and years in Mississippi, and the powerlessness of the Africans in Mississippi, although we have several communities, several counties that are predominantly African, but because we have not organized, mobilized, and educated these communities from a political, social, and spiritual level, they have been subject to exploitation. And so it is our intention to educate, organize, and mobilize these Africans so that they can begin to be less subject or less vulnerable to the exploitation that they've been subject to all of this time. Now, let me say that the good news in terms of the water crisis in Nagger-Evansville has been the response of African organizations, African communities, and people of goodwill throughout the country. While we have suffered from this water crisis, there has been a tremendous influx of the necessary water from across the country, and we're so proud of the provisional government and the National Coalition of Blacks for Reparations for adding significantly to that influx of relief water that came into Nagger-Evansville. Right now, it is my understanding that the boiled water alert has been lifted, that the water pressure is back to quote-unquote normal, so that the water is, at this point, usable. But again, we still have to be mindful that it's still flowing through an antiquated filtration system. So there's still a need for a full rebuild of the water filtration system that services not just Jackson, but many of the surrounding communities that are connected or annexed to Jackson, Mississippi. Now I'll pause there and let's see if you have some additional questions.
Okay, that's some very good information. I want to ask you, what does Day-to-Day Survival actually look like, and how can we help the new African people be helped, and what do they actually need?
Again, as I said, right now the water crisis has been lifted to a certain degree. So the immediate crisis has been diverted, so it no longer is an immediate crisis. However, the long term situation is to have that water filtration system rebuilt in Jackson, and so that it can serve those, again, as I said, those annexed communities that are around Jackson. So the thing that we need right now, there is a online petition that was initiated by a citizen, a former state representative out of Nagger-Evansville, encouraging the governor, the state legislature, and even the mayor of the city of Jackson to do whatever is necessary to get the water crisis under full control. So we have to, we would hope that individuals would go to go online and just Google petition to end the water crisis in Jackson, Mississippi, and sign that petition. The other thing that we have to do is we have to begin to assist the residents in understanding political science in order for them to stand up for themselves in getting, again, the governor and the legislature and the mayor to work collectively to solve the problem on the long as a long looking for a long-term solution. So we need to go online and Google Governor of Mississippi and find that at his phone number, give him a call, and encourage him to work with the city government of Jackson to end the crisis on a permanent basis. Same thing is true with the on a federal level. We need to make sure that the President of the United States begins to pay back some of the political favors that he said that he received from the black community that put him in office. And so he needs to be to develop an accountability system, all of these southern states, so that when funds come into these communities that are targeted to assist poor people and African people, that there is a state decree, a federal decree, if you will, to ensure that those monies go where they're supposed to go, and that these Confederates, these individuals who run these southern states, don't siphon that money off and find ways to give it to their cronies as opposed to using the money the way that it's supposed to. We have to realize that there are parts of the South in particular that look like a third world country. And most of those lookalikes, third world lookalike communities, are communities of African people. And it's not because the federal government had not provided support for those communities. The problem is that the funds that were sent down were not monitored to ensure that they got into the right hands. So again, if Joe Biden, the president of this country, is sincere in his pledge to pay back African people for putting him in office, that African people need to make sure that he holds to that pledge and contact his office, the various offices of the federal government, to ensure that money comes into these states, into these southern states, actually go where they're supposed to be going. So the thing that we have to do in answer to your question is to provide the political education, the cultural education, the African identity awareness to our people, to organize our people into a political force, and then to mobilize them to do the things that need to be done in order to move them closer to a stronger African community headed toward new African sovereignty.
Okay.
Again, I'll stop there and allow you to see if you have other questions.
Okay. I have another question. You know, you mentioned political science or political education, right? You know, historically we understand that on the date of October 18, 1971, right, the prison guard was attacked in two different locations. And all the seven people went at Lewis Street and four individuals, another street, and these individuals came on the R&L 11. Do you think, from a dialectical mindset and from your experience, that this situation that occurred in 1971 is related to what's going on right now with new African people in regard to 2022? From your own opinion, thoughts, philosophy, whatever, what do you think about that in regards to, you think the attack is still going on, or something that I'm speaking from a hypothetical sense? You know what I'm saying? I'm speaking illusionary imagination. What you think from that perspective?
Well, again, we have to understand that the attack against the African community started not in 1971. It started in 1519, and other people would say 1619. So we use 1619 as the common date of when they say that we first arrived here as enslaved Africans, the assault against us has been ongoing from that point forward. That assault has taken on many different strategies, many different tactics. When we fast forward to 1969 at New Bethel Baptist Church in Detroit, Michigan, where the United States government first physically attacked the provisional government. And then we come back again to, as you said, 1971 in Mega Evansville, where they made their second military attack against the provisional government. The strategies have changed slightly, but the attack has been ongoing. Of course, as you know, in both of those attacks, there was casualties to the United States military. They call it the police and the FBI and whatever else. So there was casualties to their army. And so one thing that America never does is America never forgets, and they never forgive. And they certainly don't forgive and forget what happens when Africans are victorious in their pursuit of freedom, justice, and equality, equity of justice. And so when they lose a battle, come at you with the intent of getting revenge. So yes, the attacks that come against New Africans in Mega Evansville and throughout the state of Mississippi, in Louisiana, in Alabama, in Georgia, and South Carolina, are all connected to that attack from 1971. But again, we have to be mindful that it has taken on different tactics, but it's all been politically motivated. And so that's why it's so important that people of African descent become politically astute and politically savvy in terms of getting this monkey off our back. Again, I'll yield there and wait for your next question.
Yes, sir. That was a good assessment, man, because, you know, as you think about it also, that Detroit has been going through that same water situation as well for years. It was in Flint. They were going through that same water situation. Like you said, they both was attacked, you know. And my next question is, has this situation, from your experience, from what you've seen, has it brought new African people closer to each other? Has it brought more unity, more strength, more solidarity? Or what are you actually seeing now from the people that you wasn't seeing before in regard to this aspect?
Well, again, this particular crisis has created a sense of crisis unity. In other words, we've come together in order to manage this particular crisis. What I'm disappointed in is that we have not, as a collective, made the connection of this crisis to the historical nature of barbarianism that is the fabric of American society directed toward African people. What we tend to do is deal with crises as they pop up, as opposed to finding ways to manage crises or prevent as much as possible some of these crises. Let me give you an example. There's a brother named Haru who suggested to us that out of this crisis, an excellent project for our people would be to begin to install purification filters in our homes so that all of the water that flows through our house is filtered through a filtration system that is connected to our homes. While the filtration system that flows, that filters the water coming into our homes, we need a backup filtration system in our homes. And what he showed us was that these additional filtration systems could be installed in our homes for as little as $150. The filtration system itself only costs $50. And to install it, if you did it yourself, may cost you another $25 to $50. If you brought in a plumber, it shouldn't cost you any more than $100. So we say for $150, you could install a carbon filtration system that would filter all the water in your home. Now, coming out of Flint, Michigan, we learned that unfiltered water or lead-based water or contaminated water affects underdeveloped bodies. In other words, children are highly affected by contaminated lead-based water. A home filtration system would help tremendously in protecting our children from this contaminated water because of the old infrastructure that exists throughout this nation. So a proactive move would be for a new African conglomerate or corporation or team to go around and make these filters available to our people so that our children would have a better opportunity for normal development as a result of the intake of this precious commodity that we know that is so much needed, called H2O. But again, what we have to do is get past the crisis. And we have, again, as I said, we have seen a tremendous response from new Africans across the country in support of Mayor Eversville. What we have to do in Mayor Eversville is to make sure that we take this momentum of unity and crisis management and begin to, again, educate, organize, and mobilize ourselves in a proactive structure so that we don't have to always be in a crisis situation. And this water system is one of the things that we could do that could motivate us to stay organized, to stay connected, and to organize, educate, organize, and mobilize ourselves for a stronger community if we take advantage of this opportunity. So, again, I am seeing where some groups who were power-seeking are actually beginning to collaborate with groups that are smaller and have less of a power base. For example, the NAACP is working with community-based organizations in Mayor Eversville to solve this crisis situation. If we can maintain, if we can find a way to maintain those collaborations and those cooperations, then we can start focusing on other things that are important to our community, such as the failing educational structure that's going on in Mississippi and Jackson in particular as a result of charter school invasions. We can focus in on the infrastructure problems that are so pervasive throughout Mississippi because, again, of mismanagement of federal funds that have been coming in. So, again, there are things that we can do. We just have to make sure that we see the opportunity and then take full advantage of that opportunity. So, again, I'll pause there and hope that I answered your question.
Yes, sir. That was a very sufficient answer. I had one more question, then open the line for a couple of callers. What type of effect has the water had to agriculture and food supplies? What type of effect has it had?
Okay, I'm not sure. I didn't hear the full question. Can you repeat it for me?
Okay, I see.
Okay, I didn't hear your full question.
What has the water had in regards to agriculture and food supply?
Okay, yeah. Of course, again, when we talk about the impact of the water situation, when you look at the rainwater that caused the flooding, agriculturally the farmers were glad to see that. I mean, it was their land got a good saturation, was saturated very well, so that the crops will, you know, will respond to that. Prior to that, there was some question as to whether or not we were going to get enough rain for the crops to grow. But of course, when we got too much water, then we did see saturation of neighborhoods, and as a result of that, we did see some uprooting of trees. We did see again, of course, the contamination of the filtration system. So there is a need for us to develop a team of engineers who can prepare for and foresee situations, some of these types of problems, and be able to address these problems in a proactive manner, so that, again, as we start to organize, and mobilize ourselves, and we take control of Mississippi, Louisiana, Alabama, Georgia, South Carolina, that we're able to actually be able to manage all of the essential services that are needed for survival. Again, we need to be training our young people in the sciences, in engineering, in mechanics, mechanical engineering, and these type of things, so that we can be prepared for these kinds of disastrous situations and be able to manage those situations in a very productive way. So there were lots of lessons to learn from this. Again, what we have to make sure of is that we actually take those lessons and build the type of structure that we need in order to be prepared for future challenges that will be faced. So again, I await your next question.
Okay, I appreciate that. That's some very good information, you know. And I also would like to advise everybody in every community existing that we all should be working on learning about emergency preparedness, disaster preparedness, and training for that at any given time. You know, we should be on that. At this time, I want to open up the line for callers. You have a question, statement, a comment. Please press 1. I'm opening your line. At this time, open up the line for the callers. Hold on. I see somebody already. Okay, hold up.
That's beautiful.
Yes, 614-285, your line is open. If you have any questions, comments, statements, please do so at this time. 614-285, your line is open. Go ahead.
Mure RD, can y'all hear me?
Yes, through
yes,
line. Yeah, mama kind of.
Okay. Greetings from Brother Bomani and Baba Lucada. Woo! My dyslexia is kicking in real bad tonight. My question for you, Baba Lucada, is the water. You said part of the crisis is subsiding some because the water is usable. Does that mean it can be used to bathe in and wash dishes. Does that mean it's drinkable, or do we need to continue to ship drinking water, send money for the purchase of drinking water? Could you be more specific, please, in terms of the actual drinking water? And I thank you in advance.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you for that question. What I'm suggesting is that we're back to quote-unquote normal with water usage, which means that now the water is quote-unquote safe to drink. The water is safe to bathe in. The water is safe to cook in or cook with.
Mm-hmm.
The problem, of course, is that before the rain and the flooding, it was already quote-unquote safe to use, but there are impurities in it, even though it is safe to use. So what we have to be about, as I said earlier, is trying to get our people to develop or make sure that they have a backup system for filtration. And that being, of course, is the carbon filtration system that can be installed into their homes. Right now, we have to first identify a team that can actually do the installation of these filtration systems. And that's what we're working on, is we're providing, we're looking at developing a team to actually be able to install these filters onto people's homes so that their water system can be as pure as possible. So at this point, we don't want people to send money yet, but we will be requesting funds to assist those individuals who are cash strapped and may not be able to purchase those filters for their homes, or for those situations where the landlord, you know, we have a lot of renters, where the landlord is not amenable to adding one of those filters to his property. So we'll have to wrestle with those individuals in order to get those systems installed into those types of situations. So we right now, continued influx of water would be helpful, because we are still drinking through that contaminated or that antiquated system. For me, right now, I am encouraging people to look at become politically savvy and assisting us in making sure that the governor stops misdirecting funds that were intended for infrastructure development in Jackson and stop diverting those funds to other communities outside of Jackson. And we will be, again, identifying those that petition. I don't have it in front of me right now, but we will be identifying that petition that was calling for, I think it was 7,000 signatures, and we're at 6,000 already, so we need at least another 1,000 signatures. But it would be outstanding if we got, our goal was 7,000 and we got 10,000 signatures on that petition encouraging the governor to do the right thing. Now, we know that that's just an encouragement, right? So then we'll have to come back at a later time and ensure that we provide political support to ensure that the same way this water crisis got national attention, that his stealing money gets national attention as well. That's the only way it's going to really happen, if they become embarrassed. And we can embarrass them about the corruption that has been existing and continues to exist with these federal funds that have been coming in. So, again, the short answer is yes, we can still use some drinking water, but that crisis is less urgent at this time than it was when this crisis first began.
Okay, I have one more.
Question.
Yes, you
yes,
did.
Ma'am.
I have one more comment question. You stated earlier about boiling the water. When I was living in North Philly, we had a crisis with water. One of the things that those of us who were doing the study and the research found out is that if we have to use the contaminated water, to put it in a glass container with a wide open mouth, put it in the back of the refrigerator, let it sit there 48 to 72 hours, and then pull it out. Then you can boil it. If you boil it first, it becomes the majority chemicals. But if you distill it, then the chemicals, as you'll see, every time you put a new jar in the refrigerator, the wall will begin, the back wall of the refrigerator will have this scum. That's those chemicals being drawn out of the water. So I just wanted to say that, and I thank you. And I yield.
Thank you so much for that advice. And of course, we know that through the filtration system that we use throughout the United States, period, that there are chemicals that are added to the water in order to make it safe, quote unquote, to drink, and that that even, you know, even though it has been rated safe to drink and safe to use, it's still a good idea to find some way to purify it even further. So we thank you for that, for that, that scientific advice. We have some other calls.
Yes, sir. You're listening to a call. The next call is... Net call is 901-480. If you have a question, comment, statement, please do so at this time. 901-480. Your line is open. Go ahead.
Free to land. What's up, Bobby Lucado? Mr. Bowman. Everybody in the phone line. How y'all doing with me? Hey, Bobby Lucado.
Greetings, Mama.
How you doing?
We're good. Excited about being on the line with you.
Thank you again for another informative show. Very, very informative. And I wanted to ask a question. Are they with the white media, right? Are they depicting what's really going on accurately down there in Jackson?
Okay. First of all, I have to ask who you mean by they.
You know, just the mainstream media, have they depicted what has happened down there correctly? You know what I'm saying? Have they portrayed it to us correctly? We are, you know, we started the New African Broadcast Association, and we just, you know, keeping abreast of what's going on and want to know what they're doing out there.
I think that the mainstream media, you got to keep in mind, it's this crisis that we're looking at. Right now happened because of a flood, but it had been something that had been brewing for quite some time. As the mayor of Jackson has said, it wasn't a matter of if it was going to happen. It was just a matter of when that system was going to break down. And that's a situation that exists throughout this whole country. It's not a matter of when, it's just a matter of, and it's not a matter of if, it's just a matter of when. And so the media has fairly accurately depicted the crisis, but not the root of the crisis. Very few of the national main, quote-unquote, mainstream media outlets have talked about the corruption and the racism that put us in this situation in terms of what's going on in Mayor Eversville. Very few have addressed the idea that, again, white flight and the flight of economics is at the root of this problem. They have acknowledged that we have a problem, but they didn't get to the root of the problem. What I would ask the New African Broadcast Association to do is to call some people in Mega Eversville, in and around Mega Eversville, and let them tell you directly how this crisis has been impacting them for years. I mean, even the mayor has said on several occasions that even as a child, he can remember where we had boil water alerts on a regular basis in Mega Eversville. So again, this has been a problem that has been ongoing for a period of time. And so we just have to make sure America recognizes that this problem for Mississippi has been ongoing in Mississippi in particular since 1819, which is when Mississippi ratified its latest version of a state constitution. And in that state constitution, there are so many racist laws that justifies or legalizes, let's not say justifies, but legalizes the behavior and the corruption that exists in terms of mismanagement of funds. So again, broadcast company, New African Broadcast Association, should contact individuals right there in Mega Eversville. There's plenty of New Africans there, and I can put you in touch with a few of them and just let them, you know, voice their own experiences so that our people can know what's really going on. And I hope that answers your question.
I appreciate that, Bible. So, like you said, white and economic flight, systemic racism, mismanagement and misdirecting the funds, and reach out to some people in Megas Eversville and get the full story. And so I got
yes,
you.
Yes, ma'am.
I got you. Thank you. Thank you.
All righty.
And
yes,
I yield.
All right. Continue to do the work, and thank you for the work you do.
Thank okay. you, Bob. Thank you.
Okay. Okay. We appreciate the Deputy Minister Queen Miller for that statement. We appreciate that. Let's see. I don't think we have any more callers, Bob Lucata. What are your final statements? What information you want to leave us with? What are your final statements? What you want to leave us with?
Well, let me make a couple of quick announcements, if I could.
Okay, go ahead.
A couple of quick announcements. Of course, as we started off, we talked about the upcoming national election. We want to encourage all the listeners to make sure that they are included in the process for the national election, which will be held November the 3rd through the 5th. And keep in mind, I'm saying 3rd through the 5th, so we have 3 days of voting where people have an opportunity to vote 3 days as opposed to a one-day election process for Americans. We have 3 days in which we can have an opportunity to cast our ballots. November the 3rd through the 5th, 2023. So we have plenty of time to make sure that we have everything in place in our individual communities that we are able to be included in that process. And anyone who has questions about that, again, can reach out to the National Election Commission at ME Council, excuse me, and that's all one word, @gmail.com or text PGRNA to 601-345-6678. The other thing I want to make people aware of is that the legislative branch of our government, will have its face-to-face meeting in Megger Evansville in October. Excuse me, in November. And we want to invite all people of African descent who are in the area of Megger Evansville or feel like traveling to Megger Evansville to come and be a part of that face-to-face meeting November, the weekend of November the 18th through the 20th. And again, if you need particulars, assistance with your travel logistics, if you plan on coming down, feel free again to contact me at ME District Council, all one word, at gmail.com, or again, text PGRNA to 601-345-6678. The other announcement that I wanted to make sure that we leave with our family is we are also in the process of planning our annual community cleanup day. And so the upcoming annual community cleanup day for within the African community, where we are asking communities to clean up around their environment, will be May the 20th, 2023. And it's a very simple process. Just go around, pick up the trash. It's in your neighborhood, and make your neighborhood clean. And begin that process on May the 20th, 2023. That's National Cleanup Day, and we'll be getting a lot more information about that as we move closer to that particular date. Finally, let me say this, that this is the last one for you. We also have scheduled our annual day celebration, New African Nation Day, for March the 31st through April the 2nd, 2023, and we will have our national commemoration of the signing of the Declaration of Black Independence in Charleston, South Carolina, on that weekend. And so we want people to start making plans to come down and celebrate our Independence Day, March the 31st. In Charleston, South Carolina, the weekend of March the 31st through April the 2nd. So those are the announcements that we wanted to make sure people – oh, I'm sorry. I do have to make one more announcement. We want people to be aware of the Megger Evansville Land Acquisition Task Force. We have identified properties in the national territory that are available purchase for through the provisional government. We are going to need some resources, some financial resources in order to acquire those properties. And so we will be, again, in the very near future, sending out pledge cards for individuals to pledge their financial support for the acquisition of land in the national territory. And it is our aspiration within the next 5 years to have a headquarters, a headquarters for the provisional government in each of the five states. And so we're going to be looking for support from New African community to make that come to reality. So those are the announcements that I wanted to give to the listeners. And again, if you have any questions about any of that information, feel free to reach out to me, Baba Lucada, at ME District Council, all one word, at gmail.com, or text PGRNA to 601-354-6678. And, of course, visit PGRNA.com online for updates to all of that information. So those are announcements that I wanted to make. And, of course, finally, I want to say thank you, Baba Momani, information minister, for allowing me this opportunity to share those insights with your listening community. Thank you so much.
Yes, sir. True indeed, brother. Bob Lucado, I'm going to thank you for coming to the show, sharing your knowledge, your understanding, and continue to do the work that you're doing. I also have a couple of announcements. Division of Public Africa, we have certain forms of paraphernalia, such as T-shirts and hats that can be purchased. If you go on our website called www.newafricanujamaa.com, and it's spelled www.newujamaa.com. You know, and we also, if anybody interested in learning about the Division of Public Africa, we also have a website. Our website is www.pg-rna.com. We also have an Instagram page called Division of Public Africa. We have a Twitter page called Division of Public Africa. We also have a Facebook like page called Republic of Africa for further information. And also, upon going on the website, we advise you to create an account, log in, sign in, and also you will find the New African Census form. You'll be counted by a New African Nation. And there's also a petition going around in regards to liberate our New African elder, Baba Dr. Matula Shakur, one of the founders of the Real Negro Republic of New Africa. You see it online, sign it. And with that, I say long live the resistance, long live the New African independent movement. Free the land.
Free the land.
By the way, yes, sir. Thank you again, Bob.
My pleasure.
Yes, sir.